It was established upon the wish and request of Pope Paul VI after his visit to Bethlehem and the Palestinian territory, where he asked the people there about their most urgent need, and many people mentioned to him the need for higher education institution in Palestine or the West Bank. And from there it started, and of course, given the presence of the De La Salle brothers in Bethlehem, the historical presence actually, since they've been there since the 1890s as a secondary school in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem, as well as in Jaffa and Nazareth, the Bethlehem University started then in partnership between the Vatican and the De La Salle brothers.
So right from the beginning, it was a school which included all local people, Muslims and Christians.
It's from the beginning that included the Muslims and Christians, yes. Yes, indeed.
It's had a checkered history since then, hasn't it, in its almost 40 years?
Yes, actually, it's not a secret. Actually, the politics is a big challenge for us as an educational institution. Politics, as you may know, there is an element that plays and has influence in almost every aspect of life there, including, of course, education and higher education. Bethlehem University experienced many closures in its life, experienced even violence at certain points of time.
You actually had rockets fired into the university.
Into the university, and it hit the library of the university and some other buildings.
But no casualties, fortunately.
Fortunately, no casualties, no. But then we have, other than the political challenge, we have also the financial challenge. The economic situation in the Palestinian territory does not allow us to charge high tuition and fees to students. So basically what we're charging students comes even less than half of what they cost Bethlehem University. So fundraising and financial support is another major challenge for us as Bethlehem University. And then there is the aspect of development and enlargement of the university. Bethlehem University is located not in the very center of Bethlehem, but it's in a populated area of Bethlehem. So there is very much limited land around it for enlargement. Now, Bethlehem area as a whole has also much limited land because, as you know, the wall that's surrounding it and the settlements also from the southern and eastern and western part, of course, of Bethlehem. So that's another challenge that we are facing. Actually, right now, we're in the process of looking for possibilities. Where can we have more land or have more buildings so that we can enlarge our program and our population?
So tell us something about the student population. Who are the majority of your students? Where do they come from? And what do they go on to do when they graduate?
Well, it depends when. If you're asking me right now, it's much different than the population when I was at the university. Actually, I was a student of Bethlehem University between 82 and 86. And then the population was very much diverse. I remember I had colleagues and friends from all the way from southern Gaza all the way to northern West Bank and north of Jenin in the West Bank. Little by little, this population became more and more limited.
As difficulties for traveling, yes.
Actually, this started with the first Intifada in 1990 when the Israeli government started imposing checkpoints on the roads and started closing towns in the, whether in West Bank or in Gaza. So up till 1990, the population was very much diverse. Right now, we have maybe 85% of the population comes from Bethlehem area. We have maybe about 10% that comes from Jerusalem, another maybe 5% from Hebron, and very few students, that's less than 1%, that comes from Nablus, Jenin, or Ramallah areas.
So, and no one from Gaza. There was a student whose story made the news headlines, didn't it?
Yes, indeed. Berlanti Azam was a student at Bethlehem University who was finishing her fourth year of studies and went from Bethlehem to Ramallah to have an interview for work once she graduates. And then on her way back, she was stopped at one of the checkpoints, and then it was discovered that she's actually from Gaza and not from the West Bank. And right then she was arrested, detained, and then sent back to Gaza. Although Bethlehem University tried a lot through the Israeli court system to protest this measure and let Berlanti finish her studies, but that was not possible, actually. And she was returned to Gaza.
She had a special degree ceremony, didn't she? All of her own, I believe,
in Gaza. Yes, in Gaza with our Vice Chancellor, Brother Peter Bray, and our Chancellor, who is the nuncio actually in Jerusalem, His Excellency Archbishop Antonio Franco, who went to Gaza especially for that event. Yes. And actually, since several years right now, Bethlehem University is trying to get students out of Gaza to come to pursue studies at Bethlehem University, but until now it's not possible. We have had no student coming from Gaza to Bethlehem University since at least 6 or 7 years.
It must be quite difficult to keep your faculty, your staff, under these kind of conditions.
Yes, indeed. Actually, I recall many of the teachers or lecturers and professors who were there at the time when I was a student. And when I came back as an employee of the university, I was asking about them, and many of them, they preferred to leave the university because it was no longer possible for them to come either from Nablus in the north of the West Bank or from Ramallah, which is even nearer. It's like half an hour distance from Bethlehem. But because of the checkpoints and the closure of Jerusalem for Palestinians, it makes it impossible for them to come every day and teach at Bethlehem University, so they left the university. And of course, it's the same for students. I mean, it's not easy for a student to come from the North West Bank to Bethlehem to pursue his studies. So yes, indeed, I mean, many has left the university because of that.
Tell us something about your own story. You were a student there, you then went abroad, didn't you? What made you come back?
Frankly, because first, I love my country. That's one thing. And the second thing, I think it's out of duty, if you wish. As you know, I don't have an army, so I have not served the army of my country. I did not do any national service. And part of it is doing this national service, because I believe if everyone, like in my case, leaves the country and does not come back, then we're having no more Palestinian people, let's say, because then we'll be all in diaspora adopting new nationalities.
There is, in fact, a larger diaspora, isn't there, in countries like Chile, for example,
or
in the United States?
Oh, yes. In Central America, you have, even like talking about the micro level, Bethlehem has much more residents in El Salvador and in Honduras than you have in Bethlehem right now. That's very much true. And that's why it's very important, actually, every person that comes back counts, actually, to the country. And happily enough, there are some people that are coming back, although not in the numbers that we hope for, but there are some people that are coming back. And at the same time, we hope that the people who are already there do not leave the country for good. Actually, if someone leaves for studies, I personally encourage that, because we need to be open to new culture, for new educational opportunities, but at the same time, not to leave the country for good, because that's not in anybody's favor, actually.
Difficult, though, to convince people, particularly with young families, for example, as the Catholic Church is finding, difficult to convince them to stay with so little hope of any kind of political solution on the horizon.
That's true, and that's reality, actually, because, for example, I would say I'm lucky to have this employment opportunity with Bethlehem University, but I mean, there is a limited number where Bethlehem University can hire people. There is also a limited number where other institutions also can hire people. So not too many find employment opportunities. And then the choice would be for them either to sit idle at home or to go abroad and then live in dignity and, you know, like winning their daily bread. So, and that's the choice where many people are faced with, and then they have to leave the country. And I'm sure if you ask many of those people, if you find a good employment opportunity back in your own hometown, in whether Bethlehem, Ramallah, or Nablus, they would for sure come back. Actually, coming here to Rome from Amman, because we go first to Amman, we're not allowed to use Tel Aviv airport, I met on the airplane one of the prominent Palestinian businessmen. This person who made a big fortune abroad preferred to come back and build a big house in the West Bank, in Nablus. And he wanted to make the point, yes, that although I made a successful life abroad, but then my home remains Palestine. And then he came back and built this. So there are people for whom it is possible to do that. They come back and they stay in Bethlehem, but it's not possible for everyone.
as you say, for those who haven't made millions abroad, for the ordinary people of Palestine, can you give us any signs of hope?
The only hope we have is to have peace. If we have peace in Palestine and in the area, then yes, I see hope for many of those to be able to come back to their towns and villages, to come back to their homes where they prefer to live. But unfortunately, until now, I'm not seeing any of that. And I cannot be optimistic. I'm trying to be, but I cannot. But we have to be, we have to remain hopeful that sometime, hopefully sooner than later, that peace will prevail and then things will be much better for everyone.
You're here in the Vatican and in Rome discussing fundraising, but also awareness raising. What do you really expect from the Christian community outside of the Holy Land? What else can people do who want to be involved, who want to support Bethlehem University and its future students?
You mentioned that actually they can help in two areas. First of all, awareness to others, to their peers, to their colleagues, to their friends, for those in Europe and the States, to their representatives at the governments, that there's Christian population living in Palestine, living in Bethlehem, and looking for peace, and then that they push their governments to help achieve peace in the Middle East. The other front is the financial support to institutions, especially educational institutions and health institutions, to support them financially, because there is no way that these institutions can survive and serve the Palestinian Christians without the external financial support. The economic situation there is very bad. I know that it's also bad in other parts of the world, but if it's bad in the other parts of the world, that means it's even worse in Palestine. So their financial support is very much appreciated there.
And finally, Bethlehem is always keen to welcome any groups of pilgrims, isn't it, Bethlehem University?
Oh, yes, we receive groups on daily basis, and many of them, actually, they do come back to Bethlehem University for second and the third time. They like it very much. They found it enlightening. They learn many things that they do not hear when they are in their own countries. So, I encourage everyone thinking of coming there to actually come there and see and learn about the situation there and see his Christian brothers, how they live, how they survive in that area of the world.